Measuring yourself is easy in some respects, like your age, your height, your weight, but not so easy in others, like your character, integrity, and maturity. But those are the real measurements we should be focusing on. Your quantitative info doesn't define who you are, it's your qualitative info that does. But growth doesn't just happen. It takes intentional accountability on your part. So welcome to The Measuring Post, a place where we can learn and grow together.
Hello and welcome to another edition of The Measuring Post. My name is Joe Massa, the host of The Measuring Post, a place where we can learn and grow together. And part of learning and growing is also learning when to hang up your mouse, your keyboard, and your work life, because retirement hopefully is something that we all get to achieve at some point in our lives. I know right now with the current economy, it could seem like that's way far down the line, but when you do get there, I've got the perfect lady to talk to. This is Miss Wendy Leggett. She is a certified retirement life coach, a non-financial planning expert, and also owner-operator of Conflux Retirement Coaching. So welcome to The Measuring Post, Wendy. How are you today?
I'm fantastic. Great to see you, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, anytime. This is definitely a topic that I think a lot of people don't really think about unless you're kind of approaching that age. But, you know, certainly me, I turn 40 in about 2 weeks. So retirement seems like a mythical creature to me at this point. I feel like I'm 100 light years away. So I really liked going through your website and just kind of meeting with you and learning a bit about your process and sort of, you know, determining the value of your life after work. So give us a brief rundown of your history, because you spent a long time in the corporate world. And then at some point you decided that that was just enough and you wanted to go into the coaching side of your career. So give us a walkthrough on how that took place.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So as you shared, most of my career was in corporate life. I was a sales leader for a number of different kinds of companies, from Fortune 50 to fashion to franchises. And what I really loved about that work, Joe, was the connecting with my clients, elevating my team members' capabilities, and of course, achieving and moving even further through the goals that we had set around sales and service. So loved all of that. When I made the decision to make a major life change, it was because the last position I was in, where I was directing a number of franchises, I loved the owners of the company. We had very similar value set. We faced the clients in the very same way, you know, under-promising, over-delivering, and really, you know, nurtured and cared about our employees. Unfortunately, we did so well that I think they decided that this is a perfect time to sell. And so that's what they did. And the new owner that came in had a very, very different value set than I did. And I think maybe everybody can relate to this. You can probably too, Joe. As you know, when things like that happen, sometimes we think, oh, I can make this work. I'm a problem solver. I'm a fixer. I'll find a way. And so I kept trying every which way to find that connection. But what was happening is that it was starting to really diminish how I was feeling about facing the clients, who were being really let down, and the expectations that they'd had for us before weren't being realized, and letting down my employees because I was having to carry a message that didn't fit for me and there wasn't another way around it. So I was kind of at that crossroads. And I think, you know, unfortunately and fortunately, when we're at that lowest point, and for me, it became really kind of soul sucking. At that lowest point is maybe when we dig a bit deeper. And so it was at that point that I thought, well, I have to make a change. I can't make the changes here that I'm hoping for. So at that point, I started researching what else feels right to me. And I knew that what felt right to me was bringing myself forward, achieving goals and connecting with people, and decided that why not have me be that service or that product that in the past I had been promoting. So I discovered coaching, went back to school, got my certified professional retirement, professional coaching certifications, and then went further with accreditations around retirement. So that's a lot to be said, but what does that kind of bring up for you?
Yeah, no, I think that's awesome to hear the backstory, because one thing you said I really like that, you know, so maybe when you left the corporate world, it wasn't because of the financial reason. Obviously, the paychecks are still showing up every other Friday, but it was a cultural mismatch and you weren't finding your inner peace and happiness in that role anymore, which I think is something that is really swept under the rug a lot. I know I've done that myself where I took a job that necessarily I had zero passion for, but I like the paycheck. And obviously we all got bills to pay and families to take care of. So I understand that dynamic of it. But when you said, you know, you were wondering how to move yourself forward. So instead of finding that person that can move you forward, why not you become the person that moves you forward and then help other people do so as well. So I really like that mentality, like be the change that you want in your own life. Like if you don't advocate for yourself and make the steps that make your life better, there's very little opportunity that somebody's going to magically sweep in and do that for you. So you do have to be the change officer in your own life, which I really like that you mentioned that. So, you know, I think that kind of segues me to another portion of your coaching practice, and it's, you know, finding purpose after retirement. So maybe you're not just going from one career to the other, like you're talking corporate into the coaching world, but your coaching specifically leads to retirement and after those working years are done. And I think a lot of people just assume that that means going on long cruises and golfing 5 days a week and, you know, watching all the Matlock your heart can handle. But that's probably not mentally and fulfillingly beneficial to your soul. So what is something that you offer or recommend for people who are looking for purpose after work? Because a lot of people kind of use that as their identity.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, there's so much there that you've mentioned. And this idea that we're the CEO of ourselves, we're the leader of ourselves and advocating for ourselves. And we have this incredible opportunity when we move post-career to do that, to really step into that. But we have to take that accountability and that ownership. And the way to do that is to have a vision of, well, where do I want to see myself going next? The first question that I tend to ask clients is, what does retirement mean to you? You know, what do you see for yourself? Because oftentimes, like you're saying, people buy into this vision of, you know, leisure and travel and endless weekends. And yes, watching Matlock could be really fun for a bit, but then it becomes kind of same old, and that Groundhog's Day. And then people wake up and say, wow, what am I doing here? Where am I finding meaning? What's getting me up in the morning? And what contribution am I making to myself and to those that I love and to my community and my world? And so that leads us then to this feeling of purpose. And I think that oftentimes that idea of finding purpose that we hear so often, Joe, can just be so overwhelming. It's like this holy grail, like you have to find purpose. And so that can stop people in their tracks and oftentimes make them feel stuck or overwhelmed. So instead, I like to really think about it as purpose. It can be with a capital P, or it can be with a lowercase p. It can be you taking care of a grandchild one day, or you reading a book at a school to children, or it could be some other type of volunteering, or going back and taking a class, or really enjoying that hobby that you always loved, or starting a business. It can be any number of things with a capital P or a small p, but the idea is getting into action, feeling purposeful. So it's not a static state. It's not that a one and done, I found purpose, but instead, how can we feel meaningful and fulfilling? What is it that we want to bring to the world and in that way contribute to ourselves as well? So that's an area that I really focus on with my clients. And I think one of the pivotal pieces is really determining what are our values. And again, that's not a static state, but taking that time to really dig deep and say, what's important to me? What aligns with who I see myself as and who I want to be in this world? So I shared earlier in my career that I was out of alignment with my values. I didn't feel as though there was that connection that was so important to me, or really sharing things honestly with clients, or really helping people be them their best selves as well. So for each of us, that's an important area to explore, and again, an area that I work on with my clients. So I shared a lot in response to you. What comes up for you around that?
You know, I think watching it firsthand. So a couple years back, my grandmother, sweet nanny, we call her Nanny, she is almost 93. She'll be 93 in January. But she moved back to Colorado from Ohio. I live in Colorado. My parents live in Colorado. Nanny moved here to stay with my mom and dad because she just was getting to the age where living alone was a risk to her health. But you know, she's been retired for many years at this point, considering she's in her 90s. But one thing I really liked that you mentioned that I see her do that I think is really fun to watch, and it's always warms my heart, is even in her early 90s, she still goes to the little local clubhouse and does like her weekly and monthly classes. And sometimes it's like a history class or a session on some science or weather or whatever. It's just like they bring in somebody to come talk, and the retirees, they come in and they just spend their time learning and doing things because, you know, her body clearly is not what it used to be. She can't get up and go for a jog in the morning, but her mind is still very sharp. And I think that's probably something that you see a lot of when you talk to people looking at retirement, is how do I keep the wheels spinning up here and how do I keep my mental resiliency and toughness? And I'm sure that's kind of like working out your body. You know, you have to mentally, you know, exercise your brain. And I love, my grandma's been able to stay so sharp from my, you know, observation, because she actively campaigns for her brain. She reads every day. She's a total bookworm, and she goes to these classes, as I mentioned. And I think that gives her that lowercase p purpose. It's something that she can put on her calendar every week and go, it's something to look forward to also. It's excitement, you know, and she loves taking care of the little dog at the house. And, you know, that's like what you're talking about, maybe taking care of your grandkid. That's her little grandkid at that point, because I'm her grandkid and I'm one of the younger ones. So she doesn't really need to take care of any more grandkids at this point. In fact, we like to take care of her and take her to lunches and stuff. But that lowercase p, I think she found in like a sense of community also. So when she was living in Ohio, there was really no one around her. Her kids are all grown in their 60s and moved on. She's essentially out there with a couple of random sporadic grandkids that just weren't around very often. So she was very living this isolated, lonely life. So part of retirement, would you imagine, or would you say that also can be benefited by like being a sense of community?
Absolutely. But I can't leave the point that you made about campaigning for your brain. Campaign for your brain. I love that. I haven't heard that before. I'm going to probably steal it, but I think
you can use it. That's a free one.
That all of us need to think about, you know, campaign for your brain. And so, yes, we have this extended lifespan now because of medical breakthroughs and things, but let's have that health span as well. And so really thinking about how we can, yes, there are things that we don't have control over, but certainly, you know, Nanny going to these different lectures and things and connecting with family. And so to that point, that is a pivotal piece. We know that people, there's this epidemic of loneliness that we've heard about in the world, and it especially impacts those that are older adults and moving into those elder years. And we know too that the social circle can start to constrict because there is loss. That's a reality. But what do we do to broaden it, like your nanny has? What do we do to really build those fresh friends or allow ourselves to make those connections? Because if we don't, then we do start to have our world close in. And so we're social beings and all of us want to feel that connection. And so it's incumbent upon us to really find those. One of my clients had been so busy at work, and when we were developing her runway to retirement, she said, gosh, I've been so out of touch with so many of my friends and now it's too late. And I really challenged her to say, well, what about it is too late? Well, you know, it's been too long and I haven't been in touch. And I said, well, what if you were to make a call? Like, would people hang up on you? Would they say, oh, it's been too long, and they're not going to want to continue a conversation? So I really challenged her to reach out and just give it a try. And she came back and said it was so gratifying because people said, wow, I'm so glad that you called. So, yes, we sometimes have to be the one that takes that first step. We need to make those overtures and stuff, because to be a friend, to have friends, we need to be a friend, and reaching out is one way to do that. But yeah, we don't want that circle to constrict, because that's when we start to feel the heaviness of our aging and our disconnect from the aging as well.
And I'm glad that you said it that way, because I'm not sure if you've seen some of my earlier episodes, but we talked to some people that were going through like life-threatening illnesses like cancer or, well, obviously the biggest one, cancer. But at the end of that episode, one of the things I mentioned was it's really important to reach out to people. And the reason is, it was on a different front than what you just mentioned, because when you're faced with your own mortality, that aligns what matters in life. It's not the big deadline that's due on Monday for your job. It's not the movie you didn't see. It's your friends and your family and your loved ones, because now all of a sudden your time, your clock just got restricted. So you're not, it's not this inevitable, I'm going to live forever mentality anymore. But one of the topics we brought up was how many people are in your phone book or your contact list that you haven't talked to in a long time, that exactly like you said, you get to this point where like, well, I haven't talked to, you know, Tim in 6 years, so he probably doesn't want to hear from me anymore. But if I picked up that phone and called him, it might be one of the greatest calls he got all year. He's like, man, where have you been? I just, you know, sometimes life happens and you lose those connections, but those are really rewarding. And there's nothing better being the receiver of one of those calls. All of a sudden I look at my phone and it's somebody, a friend or a family member, or even a cousin that's in a different state. And you go, wow, I haven't heard from Ray or whoever it is in years. And it's like, wow, what a cool experience that was. But it does kind of open up your own heart and your own eyes and your own life. And it really reminds you of the joy of life and being part of that community. And to talk to your other point, going back to my nanny for just a minute, one thing we had a conversation with her one time about, and it was like heartbreaking, but it was kind of like a reality. Like she talked about how she's outlived everybody, you know, being in her 90s now. If we're also lucky to get to that age, it's you see a lot of people go. And, you know, her husband died many years ago, my grandfather. She's lost one of her own children, her son, my Uncle Chris. Lots, you know, 99% of her friends and coworkers over the years, they're gone. So at some point, it's not a matter of not reaching into your phone and calling people, but you run out of people to call. And I think that's something that probably you get questions on or ask, like, how do you get ready to get to that old? How do you age gracefully, mentally, not just physically, but how do you prepare yourself to go to the longevity of that life can be?
Yeah, I mean, such an important question. And really, it is that perspective that you kind of touched upon. What is our perspective? Do we look at those years ahead with loss or with abundance? Do we look at those years ahead as obstacles or opportunities? And so that is that mental fitness that you touched upon as well. You know, that idea of, do we skew to the positive or to the negative? I am a certified coach in what's called positive intelligence. And the concept behind it is that we have these difficult emotions, but do we sit with them and let them weigh us down? Or do we recognize, okay, that's that emotion that's giving me a signal. It's like a hand on the hot stove that's saying, whoa, Wendy, I need to look at something. Something needs my attention. And so then do we explore it or do we keep our hand on the hot stove, which we know if we do that, it's not going to bring us any kind of positive consequences. So it is this idea of fostering this positive outlook on life, not to have toxic positivity, not to overlook what those difficult emotions might be, like you're mentioning about loss. But where are the gifts that we can find in that as well? What can we bring forward for ourselves that truly moves us forward? And so that's also an area that I really underscore, that really looking at what is our perspective? Do we have an anti-aging or a pro-aging perspective? And if it's anti-aging, then really digging deep and saying, well, what is it about the landscape ahead of me that has me with these negative emotions, and what would be possible? How else might I look at it? And really shifting and reframing is what we call it in coaching, from that idea of loss into abundance. Because oftentimes we kind of can overlook that and we get into this autopilot. I had one client who was, his financial advisor recommended he speak with me. He was really almost angry about the fact that he could not afford to retire. He was 71 and he shared with me that, when's my time going to be to enjoy the fruits of my labor, is the way that he worded it. And so we started really deconstructing his life and looking at his current situation and saying, okay, well, you have this home that is worth a lot of money, and you could sell that home, and that could allow you then to retire now. And he said, oh, no, I love that home. It's part of my family. My kids come here. No, I could never part with my home. I said, okay, so you're making that decision. That's a choice. I said, you've got these incredible hobbies that you love, but you know, they're costing you a lot of money. You could let those go. Oh, no, that's how I spend my weekends, and that's part of my community, and that's what I enjoy. So we went through the different piece parts of his life, and by the end of that exploration, what came out of it is his awareness that, first of all, he was making choices. Second of all, that there was so much abundance in his life, that there was so much that he was grateful for, and that maybe he had started overlooking it or stopped looking at it. And that's what I really invite all of my clients to do, and your listeners as well, is let's stop and reflect on, instead of what we don't have, what we do have, and what we can build off of from that. Because otherwise, yes, we do start to see the loss. We do start to see that we don't have as much. But yet, our lives are very abundant if we look for them.
I love the perspective angle. And I think that you nailed it on the head with that. Like, in our minds, I feel like we have this vision of what either a successful retirement will be, or a successful career, or a successful family, the white picket fence, everything's perfect, everything's neat and tidy, nothing's ever out of place. And that's just not life. Life doesn't happen that way. Things don't unfold that way. And I find, you know, there's a lot of great quotes over the eons of people that are much smarter than me. It's not, you know, the obstacle becomes the way. The thing that you didn't think was causing you to not get what you wanted actually became exactly what you needed in life. And talking about your client that you mentioned, the 71-year-old gentleman, he probably had this vision of his retirement, like living on a golf course, waking up whenever he wants, nothing to do, you know, but that's not a fulfilling life. That's just wasting time life. And one thing that I've gathered, even in my short amount of time on this earth, which I tell my daughter it's a short amount of time, but I'm getting up there myself. It's the reality of your time is your most precious asset. You know, we trade time for dollars because we're kind of forced to at the early parts of our life. But the older and older I get, the less I'm willing to spend my time doing things that don't either benefit my heart, my spirit, and just my vision, what I see. But I guess it's easy also to overlook what is happening in your life as like a letdown. Like, well, I'm not a multimillionaire like I wanted to be at age 40. Well, I must be a failure. I didn't do it right. But I go, no, I got a nice house. I got a beautiful family. I got two kids. I got a happy wife. I got a beautiful little puggle that's 13 years old. Like, I'm abundantly rich in my life, and I have great friends and family. I still have both my parents. And that, you know, that's, these are things that are easy to not look at when you're kind of woe is me feeling bad. Like, well, I didn't make it the way I wanted to make it. But if you open your eyes and change your perspective, you really can see all of the joy and things that you do have in your life. And I like that you mentioned that when you did that, it was essentially like an audit of that gentleman's life. Like, okay, well, you can sell your house. Well, no, I can't sell my house. Well, you can get rid of one of your hobbies. No, I can't get rid of that. So when you have a third person like you come in and actually audit someone's life, or really kind of pull back the sheets and go, well, look at all this stuff you're spending your money on. And I know you don't do the financial side of retirement, but when you do a financial audit, the same way I was a mortgage broker for a long time, and you know, I would get people to go, well, I want to buy a house, but I just simply can't afford it. I go, okay, well, let's look at your finances. Let's open up your bank balance and take a look. Well, I go, well, you're spending $800 a month on takeout food, and you're spending $300, $400 in subscription services every month. I go, that's, you know, not in today's world, but that used to be a mortgage payment. That's $1,200, $1,300 right there that if you weren't spending it on the stuff that you really could cut, you could be where you want to be. But that's the discipline that a lot of people don't have. So I think that, you know, having a service and a coaching service like Conflux Retirement Coaching is so valuable, because a lot of people don't know where to look and what to do. Like, even what to look at in their life. So that leads me into what is on the future roadmap for your company, and where are you hoping to expand to?
Yeah, well, and you know, I'm so appreciative of having an opportunity to talk with you and share this with your listeners, because as you said, it's maybe something that doesn't occur to people or isn't top of mind. And yet we know that when we leave career, we can feel like we're leaving pieces of ourselves behind. And you touched upon it earlier around identity. And, you know, there's a saying, if you are what you do, who are you when you don't? And when people leave work, they oftentimes feel at loose ends, like, you know, what is my place here on earth? Because that purpose that we talked about, that's baked into our work. You know, there are goals that we're going to be meeting, or there's things that we're going to be accomplishing. It's just part and parcel of our work. And when we leave that, again, we're left with these loose ends. And so it's important then that all of these piece parts are given that attention. And that's what's important to me. And so circling back to me saying I'm so appreciative, because I want to raise people's awareness. I want to put that spotlight on retirement beyond the financials. And so the work that I do with individuals, I want to continue to grow that, as well as my speaking to groups and working with couples, because as couples go into retirement, that brings in some additional factors as well. And so so that's what's on the horizon for me. You know, when I've mentioned to people in the past that I'm a retirement life coach, they think that I came up with that idea, that it's, you know, something that they've never heard of before. We will see, I believe, more and more of it in the mainstream, because more and more people are of that retirement age. And so we're going to demand that our next chapter is more fulfilling. But we have to be willing to do our part too, and really dig deep and think about, okay, what is meaningful and purposeful to me, which can feel, again, very overwhelming or get people kind of stuck or fearful. And so then reach out to someone like me so that we can be that guide. And it doesn't take long. It's not like I'm going to then be, you know, walking along with you for years and years, although of course I always stay connected with my clients. But it can happen very quickly that we start to make these self-discoveries and we start to get that vision, and then we start to move forward in a path that's really going to serve us.
So you're telling me if we hire you, you're not going to come move into the basement and monitor everything we do and keep a close eye on us? So I'm sure people would think that.
No one's asked me to do that yet. I'm not saying that I wouldn't. Depends on the basement, I guess. But yeah. But I think sometimes it's like, oh, I can do all this myself. If I have my financial house in order, the rest will come, because what can be so tough? You know, when we think about asking people how's retirement, generally they're going to say it's great. But studies tell us 1 in 3 struggle in retirement. So it's not great for a number of people. And yet they feel like they're the outlier, that that's not normal, that they failed at retiring then, or they missed something. And that's not the case. And I want to mention that to your listeners as well.
Yeah, and I think I see both sides of that. My parents are both at that age. They're in their late 60s now. My dad owns a mortgage broker company. My mom kind of works with him, under him at this point. She held a career for many, many years. But they're at two different levels on like the mindset for retirement. My mom is like busybody. It's where I get it from. She's 100 miles an hour all day, every day. She's like hopping on cruises, getting on planes. She's in Europe. She's wherever she can spend her time. That's what she wants. And my dad is much more of a worrier. So he's like at that point where, can I ever quit working? You know, I didn't save enough. I didn't do this. And even if he does have a nice nest egg and they got a house and they got everything they need, it's still that level of worry, I think. But to me, his personality is, he would much more enjoy the life of leisure. Like he definitely could watch a bunch of Matlock. He wouldn't watch that show particularly, but as to throwback from earlier, you know, he's a much more docile, kind of relaxed individual, where my mom is like, and he's a trooper, I will give him that, because literally she's like a jet setting him all over the world just because she's so busy. And, you know, retirement suits her a little more because she likes the free time to be able to just go and live and do all that. My dad, I think he spent so much time working and owning a business and being that like leader that I think he's going to be a bit lost when he finally hangs up, you know, the keyboard and goes, I'm not working ever again. I'm never taking another mortgage client. I'm done. I'm just going to live off my retirement and Social Security. I do feel like he's going to be one of those three that maybe struggles a little bit to find like a new identity without just like watching TV 18 hours a day. And I know that's not what he wants to do, but it is a struggle.
No, and I think you bring up that point, and there's research that tells us that there's gender differences when we look at retirement, and your parents are illustrating that, because women tend to look at retirement as a time of rejuvenation and reimagining, and men tend to look at it as a time of rest and relaxation. So right there, Joe, we see where we could be going down very different paths. Additionally, people oftentimes come into retirement with so many assumptions on what it's going to look like, but they haven't really thought about, okay, why am I looking at retirement that way? Why is that meaningful to me? And then how might I move forward in that? So if we don't even have a clear vision for ourselves, then how can we walk down a path with our significant other? So I do work with couples, having them really look individually at what their expectations and assumptions are and plans are around retirement, and gaining some clarity, and then sharing that with one another and communicating. And that's what I want to underscore, is couples planning for retirement, communicating about what their vision is and hearing out the other person's, and figuring out, you know, what do we do together and what are things that we want to enjoy separately, and then we bring more of that back into the relationship as well. There's something that's called graying divorce and silver splitters, and it's tragedy and a travesty, but the rate of divorce is going up, and oftentimes it's attributed to this fact that people have these assumptions. They're not walking down the same path, so communication is really key there.
And it's amazing that you brought that up, because that was literally going to be my next question. And because we didn't go over this in our pre-interview, but I was going to ask about divorce rates. Do you see a higher rate of that? And clearly you would just answer that question. But I guess also that would be like, you see the spouse that's my age or younger that's unhappy, that we'll just stay together because of the kids. You know, this, you have that common goal. So that gives you that, like, we can bear with it and we can hang in there until this goal is completed. So, you know, I feel like that would be a similar aspect with like the retirement. Like, okay, now we've raised our families, we don't have to work anymore, we can comfortably financially afford to not work anymore. Like, I don't really need you anymore, Bob, after 45 years. And that is sad, you know, and just like being mentally prepared for yourself to go into retirement. I'm sure it is important if you value your marriage or significant other, whether you're not married or anyone in your life for that matter, that you include them in your roadmap to retirement and how your time is going to be spent moving forward, because they were a big portion of your life while you were active and busy and campaigning for, you know, a successful adult life. Yeah. But now when you get whether you do it a rejuvenation style, as more of the ladies tend to do, or the relaxation style, as us old grumpy men like to do, I think it's important to remember, without being a retirement coach myself, that it's important to include those people in your plans.
Yes, yeah. And I think this idea of being on one end of the spectrum or the other is one that I really want to underscore as well, is that, you know, just like many people can come into retirement with this idealistic view that it's endless weekends, leisure travel, or pessimistic view that it's aging and it's loss and it's one foot into the grave, this rejuvenation or this rest and relaxation, let's bring it into the middle and have this realistic optimism. Let's know that, yeah, one in three struggle, or the average retiree watches 47 hours of TV a week, or that people don't feel mentally or socially prepared for retirement. That's the reality. Now, what's the optimism? How can we take that awareness and then bring it into an intentional step-by-step approach that we then live into and get motivated about? But not leaving it to chance. You know, people have worked so hard all their lives. They are excited and anticipatory about this next chapter. But let's give it the attention, the time and attention it deserves, the priority that it is. Just like we have for a number of other milestones, you know, giving it that time and attention. Let's make sure that we do that for that next chapter as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously your company is called Conflux Retirement Coaching. That's ConfluxRetirementCoaching.com, correct?
Yes.
And I'll make sure to put links around this video and on social media as we promote this video. But you also have a site you told me to check out, boldnewsteps.com. What's that about?
Yes. Yeah. Well, so Bold New Steps is just the link that your listeners can click on and request this little mini retirement workbook that I've put together. And it will allow them to really step through some of the things that you and I have discussed today, you know, raising their awareness, setting some of those intentions, and then getting into action, getting into movement. I call it taking aim. So there are some great worksheets and exercises in there. And then I invite your clients to request that. And then they can set up a 1-hour call with me, a discovery call, to go over their findings or what obstacles or opportunities they see. Because I really do want people to make the most of this next chapter. I'm very committed to that. And I would welcome them to contact me about that. So,
yeah, absolutely. And I thank you for sharing your history and your work efforts and your knowledge in this topic, because it's one that we haven't covered yet. You know, I've done a couple financial shows about how to take care of your finances, but really not the emotional and mental side of retirement. And I think that's equally as, if not more important than the financial side. Like, obviously, nobody wants to be a 75-year-old homeless guy, because that's not good either. So you do need to take care of your money, but you've got to take care of your body and your mind, especially when you get to those stages. And remember that it's just another milestone in your life. It's not the decline, like you said, 1 foot into the grave. It doesn't have to be that way. It can be a very fulfilling portion of your life where you get to explore, expand, and grow in a lot of ways that maybe you didn't have the opportunity to do while you were in your full working career. So yeah, definitely check out ConfluxRetirementCoaching.com, also BoldNewSteps.com. If you're just kind of on the fence of where you're going to go after your work career ends, maybe that's a great, you know, launching point or a starting point. Just download the free workbook, work through it, kind of gauge yourself, do that internal audit. And then when you're feeling like you've gathered as much information from that as you can, call someone like Wendy that can come in and really give you some perspective. And I think that's something we always tend to, like you said earlier, I can do it all myself. Well, no, you can't. And you shouldn't feel that way. And like, yes, could I learn everything that Wendy learned? Yeah, probably. But why would I reinvent the wheel when I have an expert right in front of me? You know, I could try to teach my 92-year-old grandmother how to use Photoshop. She could maybe learn it, but there's no need for her because I can do that for her. And that's what we do as a community, right? We share our expertise and our knowledge. And Wendy, you have been fantastic. I really appreciate you coming on to the Measuring Post. And is there any sort of final words or things you want to say out to the listeners?
Yeah, I thank you so much. I think that conversation has just been so inspiring as well. And I do want to just leave that concept of a retirement by design, not default, that this is your next chapter. You're not writing a whole new book. You're taking so many of your own strengths, capabilities, passions into this next chapter. But do it then mindfully. Do it based on what's important to you, because you are the CEO of you. And so, so really just make the most of that next chapter. Thank you for the opportunity to share.
Yeah, I love what you just said. By design, not by default. So take those words to heart. Get in touch with Wendy, Conflux Retirement Coaching, boldnewsteps.com. Get the free workbook. And of course, thank you so much for tuning into The Measuring Post, because this is a place where we learn and we grow together. Thank you, Wendy. I truly appreciate your time today.
My pleasure. Thank you as well.